We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life. Founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode. Welcome to Zen Founder. I'm flying solo this week as Sherry gets a ton of work done. She's speaking at Business of Software next week. She's writing a talk for that. She's launched another couple Zen Tribes groups and is getting those going. She's working on getting a book landing page up and a book cover designed and really just tackling a lot of things at once. So I volunteered to take the podcast this week and talk through some things that I've been thinking about. In fact, I've recently revisited a blog post that I published a couple years ago, and this is on my blog, softwarebyrob.com. And I wanted to read that post and lend my thoughts about it, kind of additional commentary as I read through it, or even commentary at the end. Again, the name of this post is The Biggest Gamble of Your Career, and the gist of it is about how everything you do as you push your professional life forward, your founder life forward, even your personal life, it always feels scary when it's unknown and when it's a new thing. And so I'll start reading the post here. And recall, this is a couple years ago, right as I was doubling down on Drip. So maybe it was, I don't know, it was 2.5 or 3 years ago, but it's certainly still applicable to me today. I'm in the midst of the biggest gamble of my career. The thing is, every chance you take feels like your biggest gamble while you're taking it. When I left salaried employment for consulting in 2006, it felt like a big gamble. When I left consulting for products in 2008 with a wife, kid, and a mortgage, it felt like a huge gamble. When I spent most of the money I had in the bank on a broken down SaaS app few people had heard of called Hittail, I was downright scared. It's hard to put years of work and savings on the line based on nothing more than confidence that you will execute. And just as a side note here, what's interesting about that moment in time where I bought Hittail is, if I recall, you know, I've talked about this before, but I grew up, you know, solidly middle class, and every dollar that I've had to purchase or work on businesses, I've generated either from consulting work, savings, or from prior businesses. And so, you know, the initial $11,000 to buy .NET Invoice back in 2005 came from consulting work I was doing on the side, and I just banked all that money, and that's all I had. I had about 12 grand in the business account that I didn't touch, and I knew I'd use it for business purposes. And then I parlayed that, and .NET Invoice was doing a couple hundred a month at the time. I parlayed that up until it was doing, and it depended month to month, but sometimes it was 2 to 4 grand, let's say. And I had enough saved from there that I bought a few others. And so at this point in time in 2011, when I was buying Hittail, which I paid $30,000 for, which was an astronomical amount of money. I had never spent that much money on any one thing except a house at that point. So at the time I had right around like $50,000, 55 maybe, in the bank. And I wrote this check for 30 grand and I paid, I remember, $1,500 in legal fees, which I did, you know, was just painful that I had to do that. And this was right around the time Jason Cohen contacted me and let me know that he would be open to me investing in WP Engine, WordPress Engine, which was a company he was starting around that time. And of course, if Jason Cohen asks you if you're interested in investing in his company, you pretty much say yes before you even, you know, ask what the terms are. And so I was freaking out because I just didn't have any budget to do anything. And so it was a stressful time. I did wind up investing, but I really drew the bank account down to zero. And it was a gamble. You know, if you think about it, it was a gamble, in my opinion, not really on Jason Cohen, but obviously there's a chance that WP Engine may not have been successful, even if it's slim. And then I was taking a gamble on Hittail at the time. And the upside of that really was a life-changing event for me and for my family, because I was able to grow it from $1 to $2,000 a month up to about $25,000 to $30,000 a month. And it was just me and a couple contractors. So it was one of those moments where, you know, it was a really big life-changing things in terms of just having that income and starting to be able to look at more ambitious products. So back to the blog post. But every one of the above gambles worked out, and I wound up far better off than if I'd never taken them. And here's the thing. The more gambles you take, the better you become at reading the tea leaves and figuring out if your next gamble is going to work. You also gain confidence in your ability to execute when your back is to the wall. This means you don't crumble under the stress of the decision. Instead, you start to become addicted to drawing yourself out of your comfort zone, and this is a good thing. You start to embrace the immense amounts of learning that happen when you're doing something that terrifies you. Pushing on Drip. When we launched Drip last November, the first month was solid, over $7,000 in recurring revenue. I was pleased with that result and was looking forward to growth in the months that followed. Except growth didn't come. Second month revenue, granted it was December, was $7,000. Third month revenue was approximately the same. And worse yet, I was starting to see a trend. Many of the new subscribers I was adding through my tried and true marketing efforts were churning out after a few months of use. It's an expression I used to call leaking out of the bottom of the funnel. And I have a blog post that I link to about that. These days, we just call it churn. A high churn rate means you haven't found a market that really needs your product, or worse yet, that you've built something no market wants yet. And if you're paying attention, this is the learning phase that happens between building and scaling. And I talked about this in my 2013 MicroConf talk. I have a video of that online. You can go to microconf.com and go to the 2013 videos. The learning phase is, in my opinion, the most painful part. So while the percentage of new users who completed onboarding in Drip was high for an app of this complexity, it was close to 60%, these customers or prospective customers were not sticking around like I would hope, which meant we hadn't hit the nail on the head and solved the problem I came to solve, namely fixing email marketing for startups. So it was back to work. We had more than a dozen requests for marketing automation type features, basically features that allow you to send subscribers personalized emails based on their behavior. So if they read a lot of SEO articles on your website, you can tag them with SEO and move them into your SEO crash course. And that's the tip of the iceberg. You can tag people based on links they click, URLs they visit, things they buy, etc. Tracking customers from website visitor to marketing subscriber to trial user to customer and being able to tailor communications the entire time is insanely powerful. In fact, I believe it's the future of email marketing, and I wrote a blog post titled that, Why Marketing Automation is the Future of Email Marketing, over on the Drip blog. But I didn't want to build a behavioral email / marketing automation platform. It would be a ton of work to build, and the space has been crowded for years. It's not a typical bootstrapper play. It's the kind for which you raise funding. But the more founders I spoke with, the more I realized this was the real problem they were facing. Most startups have either outgrown their first email marketing app, think of a static email newsletter service like MailChimp or AWeber or Constant Contact, or they've tried a beefy tool like Infusionsoft, HubSpot, Marketo, Pardot, and it hasn't worked out due to high price and, in general, a lack of usability. Contrary to my plans, startups didn't need a little help with email marketing. They were telling me they needed a massive step up from the tools on the market. Perhaps fixing email marketing for startups was a much bigger problem than I had originally thought, and perhaps this new approach was the one that I came here to solve. Best laid plans. We planned for 1 month of development to build email marketing automation, focused on the SaaS, WordPress plugin, and info product use cases. It took almost 5 months. We rolled it out in batches, a new feature every few weeks, and the strangest thing happened as we did. Revenue started moving up, first a few hundred, then 1,000. Churn plummeted by more than 50%. Revenue rose almost 50% in a couple months. All this during a time when I was heads down, not doing a lick of marketing. The graphs were telling me that we were onto something. The gamble. I've invested a year's worth of company profits into Drip. So that was my profits from all the other things I was doing at the time, Hittail, and I think I still had .NET Invoice and whatever else. These are funds that could buy a house in most cities in the world. And I've invested the bulk of my waking hours for a year into this project. And just for context here, Derek and I were already working together at this point, but he was either salary, I think he was W-2 and he hadn't come on as a co-founder and all that hadn't happened yet. So there's a lot of I's here when in fact he and I were working together and, you know, retroactively, I would kind of say we had invested our waking hours for a year. Back to the article. We're entering a competitive market with massive upside and players who have raised millions and sometimes tens of millions of dollars. And here I sit on the eve of unleashing Drip 2.0, realizing that this is, once again, the biggest gamble of my career. The thing is, every chance you take feels like your biggest gamble while you're taking it. And most of the time, choosing the gamble is the right choice. Wish me luck. And I link over to the homepage when I talk about Drip 2.0 there in the post. And this was another watershed moment. This turned Drip around. I mean, Drip was kind of just bumping along between $7,000 and $9,000 a month and really wasn't having much traction. And this was a moment where the growth just started going up 10-20% a month. Actually, it was even more than that. And it was crazy. The next moment after this was when we invested another 5 months and we built Workflows, which is a visual, you know, builder that you can use to build marketing funnels in Drip. And that, again, basically doubled our growth when we launched that about, I don't know, it was maybe 15, 16 months later. So what I like about this post, you know, and reflecting on it, and what's interesting is, you know, I've been blogging since 2005, and I will go back and read posts that they genuinely feel like someone else wrote them because I just have no connection to them anymore. Like, I don't remember what it was like writing it. It doesn't feel like my words. This one's a little bit like that. I vaguely remember writing it, but I'm inspired by this post, and it kind of speaks to me, which is why I wanted to discuss it today, is it speaks to me because I think a lot of founders, especially folks who want to bootstrap, who have a family, or even just who have other responsibilities, we tend to want to really mitigate every risk, and the risks feel so substantial. And in fact, if you have kind of an analytical mind, if you're a developer, you often think, what could go wrong here? And that's what you dwell on. You know, you think about everything that can break, everything that can go wrong. And there are a lot of things with unknowns. They're scary because you don't know if it's going to turn out. And, you know, kind of what I'm telling my future self here in this post, and hopefully, you know, you as well as a listener here today, if you haven't read this post in the past, is we need to think about which of these gambles are calculated risks and which of them are really likely to have a tremendous amount of upside with actually very little downside. When I think back to all of these decisions, you know, the leaving employment for consulting, leaving consulting for products, plunking a bunch of money into Hittail, into WP Engine, and then starting Drip, and then doing automations, investing the time and all the money to do that. Any one of those could have failed, and it would have sucked at the time, but I would have been okay. The family would have been okay. We would not have been bankrupt. We would not have been destitute. It would have been an emotional blow to have, you know, invested the time and the money and to have failed. But it would not have caused us to lose our house or broken up our marriage or anything like that. And that, I think, is the reality check that I think so many of us need to hear. And it's almost like you either need to look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself that, or you need someone, whether it's a mastermind group or a co-founder or, you know, a significant other or a daily reminder for yourself. I tend to tattoo these daily reminders on my arm, but your mileage may vary there. Someone needs to tell you when you're in the midst of these decisions to, like, look at it from, you know, a not what's the worst that can happen situation, but a what is the upside compared to the downside? And to, like, drill into your head that as founders, this is what we do. Like, we're entrepreneurs. We have to take risks. And it's both our blessing and our curse, I believe. The blessing is that the results are crazy cool when it works out. And the curse is that you're going to be angsty your whole life because you're never going to be happy with what you're doing. Take it from someone who's been doing this for 17 years and has had successes, has had failures, and has certainly changed my life and the life around me through all the stuff I do with the blog and the podcast and the conference and my businesses. And yet, you know, even these days, there's always some angst that you're gonna find, because I do the same thing. And it's that restlessness that pushes us forward and, you know, is constantly going to be pushing you to achieve, which is a good thing. But again, that's the blessing and the curse. It's the pull in two opposite directions. But to kind of wrap up, you know, what I'm saying is, having someone, and again, whether it's you, whether, you know, because obviously self-talk can be really good. You know, so whether it's you telling yourself when you come to these big decisions where it could be a watershed moment, and doing a sanity check on it and not looking at it emotionally and getting all wrapped up in all the negative anxiety of all the stuff that could fall apart, but realizing, boy, if I do risk this $30,000, what is the upside to that? You know, the upside could potentially be hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in income. And the downside is several months of work and, you know, 30 grand. And it's like, that's actually a pretty good gamble, even though it feels scary, especially if you have the confidence and you've made, you know, confidence in your abilities and you've made good decisions and kind of stair-stepped your way up. You know, it's not like you're going to just be a full-time developer and have never done any business stuff and then drop 30 grand on an app. I'm not saying that that's a smart thing to do, but if you've had some experience and you've launched some stuff and you've dealt with these things before, you actually do have a pretty good chance of success, especially with these smaller, you know, more controlled kind of micro SaaS type businesses or any type of info product and software, like the stuff that we're talking about in the bootstrap space. The failure, you know, failure in quotes, isn't that big of a deal. And the failure I've heard about is, oh, I wrote an ebook and it only sold $1,000 worth of stuff, you know, worth of copies. And it's like, that's actually not I mean, I know you spent time and that's a bummer, but that's pretty good. Like you at least, A, you got a little bit of money out of it, but B, you got the experience, which is the more important thing. And I bet that you learned a lesson from it. I know that I've learned a lesson every time I've taken one of these big gambles. I've learned lessons about why I should take more of them. And I've learned lessons about how I deal with, you know, the extreme stress, anxiety, and pressure of having to make a decision like this. And hopefully next time you find yourself in this situation, you can think back to this episode. We'll link the blog post up in the show notes. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.